As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 31, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 31, and we're actually going to read the entire chapter. Now, before you freak out, it's only 13 verses, okay? All right, we're really just going to focus on 1 through 7, okay? But we will read the entire chapter, and I'm going to try to get through some of these names. There's some doozies in 31. But we're going to try to get through it with the Lord's help. Chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down, slain in Mount Gibeah. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. And then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. For his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. And so Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass, on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gibeah. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his son from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now, as we look back at the passage of Scripture tonight, I pray that you will find this message as a challenge, as a blessing, and an encouragement as we finish up the book of Saul. I mean, the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. I was trying to remember how far back, and I can't exactly remember the date, but it's been over a year since we've been in 1 Samuel on Sunday night. Now, obviously, there have been times where we did different things, but we've been in the book of 1 Samuel over a year now. And we're coming to the end here in 1 Samuel 31. Now, as we look back at what we spoke about last week, we were a few chapters back, and David and his men get blindsided by the Amalekites. They lose their property and their cattle. However, with due time, David and his men devise a plan to take back what is theirs. They attack the Amalekites when they are not expecting to be attacked. See, David finds them partying, dancing, and having a good time. And however, in that moment, David attacked, and for a day and a half, they fought against the Amalekites. And when it was all over, there were only 400 Amalekites that were left. And you know what they did? They fled, the Bible says, and they ran. Everyone else died at the account of David, and David took back what was rightfully his. And in doing so, David's men gave David the biggest portion of their livestock because of the victory they celebrated. And so we skip over to chapter 31, and we're going to talk about an event tonight that we've been wondering when it was going to happen. When is this event going to happen? And if you look at your bulletin this morning, you saw there's a title of the message tonight is The Death of Saul. See, the death of Saul is a monumental event because Saul had been chasing David for so long, and now he finds himself in the last battle of his life, a battle that gets him down and a battle that one that sees devastating results. So as we look back at this passage here in verses 1 through 7, will be our main focus, and we're just kind of going to go through it here, and we're going to see what takes place. As we think about the title of Death of Saul, first, what brings Saul to that point? Well, in verse 1, we see that Saul witnessed his army slain. Look back in verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gibeah. So the Philistines were more massive, they were greater and had many more chariots than Saul's troops had. And the Philistines' army must have had hundreds, if not thousands, more chariots than Saul. Now while on Mount Gibeah, Saul witnessed the devastation of his men being slaughtered and killed. There was nothing that he could do about it because he was outnumbered, he was outarmed, and the only hope was for God to intervene. But the problem was, he had went against the one true God, and so he had no prayer. As a leader, I am sure that this did something to Saul. You know, I'm sure this weighed on him heavily, as he probably blamed himself for so many of his men being slaughtered. As a leader, a good leader will always think that when something terrible happens, it was their fault. Now, obviously, a good leader cannot always blame themselves for everything, but someone that takes accountability for them should be a good leader. And I believe Saul at this time, I know he's a very selfish individual, he's a very prideful individual, but I do believe that Saul was remorse during this time of his men being slaughtered. And so that put Saul, Lord have mercy, I called him Saul. That put Saul, I don't like Saul, no wonder. That put Saul in a very bad position. But here's what happens, and this is where I believe it really started to get to Saul. Verse 2. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. So what do we see here? We see, secondly, not only did Saul witness his army being killed, but secondly, we see that Saul witnessed his sons being killed. Three of his sons were killed during this final battle. Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. Now, I know Saul's a very evil individual, but during this time, Saul witnessed something that no parent would ever like to face, no matter who they are. You know, I know he was a mean man and there was a lot of bad things that he did, but to see his own sons, that's plural, not just one, but three of his sons die, must have been extremely hard. To lose all three must have been difficult to the point that he became exhausted of sorrow. Listen, I don't know what it feels to lose a kid. Annika and I don't have children, but Lord willing, we will in the future. And to lose, you know, to lose a son or a daughter would be so devastating. You know, this church has lost. We have experienced a lot of families having to go through this. You know, I will never forget the loss of that Jimmy and Sherry Bowles had to go through. I was talking with Annika and actually Mike Hall at Speedy Chef the other night just about that. The things that they had to go through, the events that took place was so devastating. And my heart still goes out to them tonight. And you know, it's something that you never get over. And this is exactly where Saul was. You know, just this past week, this past Wednesday, we had to go to Charlotte. And some of you know, and some of you may not know, but we had to go to Charlotte for a funeral, Annika and I and her parents. It was her uncle. It was her uncle Chad Weinbarger, 44 years old. 44 years old, had died. And some have asked, was it a heart attack? No, it wasn't. It wasn't a heart attack. Chad had the flu. And Chad could not keep anything down. He was just throwing up everything. And last Wednesday night, it's been over a week now, sorry, almost 2 weeks ago that Wednesday, a week and a half ago, Chad went to bed, woke up, and threw up. And in doing so, he passed out and he aspirated. And his wife found him on the floor, unconscious. They called 911, and Chad made it to the hospital. He was put on a ventilator, and he came off of the ventilator, was breathing some on his own, but he never regained consciousness ever again. And he did that on Wednesday night, and he died Friday afternoon. A 44-year-old man, a guy that was a great athlete. He was a super-duper tennis player, they say. He was a state champion in tennis. You know, just a clean bill of health. He had a sweet wife, Deepa, who he met. Chad was a lawyer. Deepa is also a lawyer. And the way, and I love, they said this in the funeral, the way they met was they had a case, and they were against one another. And Chad, he knew that he was losing to Deepa. And he asked her to lunch one day. He asked her during that time, and he took her to lunch, and then they got married after that. It was the craziest thing. But Chad left two kids, 10 years old and 7. Will's 10, Evan is 7. Chad leaves all of that behind. You know, and I feel so sorry for Deepa and Will and Evan. And Chad was very close to his sister, Tasha. Tasha Weinbarger Sheehy is her married name now. And they were only 18 months apart, and so they both live in Charlotte and all that stuff. And so they're very close to one another, children on the same age and all that stuff, and they were very sad. You know, they were very close, and so I feel sorry for them, but I also feel very sorry for Papa William. Papa William is Annika's grandpa, Chad's dad, Scott's dad. And Papa William obviously this past week has had to bury his youngest son. And over the last, 8 or 9 months, he's had to go through his oldest son going through stage 4 cancer. You know, that's a lot on a person. That is a lot on an individual. And, you know, and Papa William is a great man of the Lord. He loves the Lord. But it's still a lot to bear. It's a lot to bear. And, you know, and this is where this is where Saul was. Saul was remorse about losing his sons. 3 of them, to be exact. And to see 3 of his sons being slaughtered and killed right in front of his eyes, and there was nothing that he could do about it, I'm sure weighed heavily on this man, to the point that I believe that he did something that he would normally not do. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But we see that Saul witnessed his men dying. We see that Saul witnessed his sons dying. But thirdly, I want you to see that Saul was also wounded. Look in verse 3. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. So what takes place here? Saul himself was critically wounded in the fierce fighting. So gather the picture that we have here. We have a man that lost most of his men. He has lost 3 of his sons in battle, and now he has been wounded as well. Also, you got to think this. He knew that his time as king was over. He knew that his time as king was over. His empire was done. The Philistines had taken over. So to say the least, you know, this man was in a very deep, dark time. And I'm certain that Saul was reminiscing on the words that God had told him more than once, that vengeance would have come upon him because of what he had done. And I am certain that Saul was wishing that he could have done something different, that he wouldn't have tried to tear down God's man David, but it was too late now. And so with all of this going on, Saul is about to make a decision that would affect mankind. If he would have not lost his men, not lost his children, would have not got injured, and not have lost his empire, I'm not sure he was going to make this decision. You know, oftentimes when we get down to our lowest, like Saul here was here, we will make decisions that we normally would not make. So let's see what he does in verse 4. The Bible says, "Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it." So what does Saul do? Saul commits suicide. Saul commits suicide. And the first thing he does, he asks his armor bearer to kill him. Saul asked his armor bearer to kill him. He desired to die so bad, but he didn't want to do it himself. Now, the reason why he wanted to die was all the things that I went through, but he also didn't want to be punished by the Philistines. Because what does he say there in verse 4? He said, "Lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." He didn't want to have to bear anything else. He didn't want to have to bear what the Philistines were going to do. So he asked his armor bearer to kill him. Now, the armor bearer said, "Sorry, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it." Now, place yourself in the armor bearer's position here. If I kill you, then what are your men going to do to me? You're the king. And if I kill you, then they're going to call me a murderer and they will kill me. So he says, "No, I'm not going to do it." Now listen, I can understand that completely. I can understand why he didn't do it. You know, unfortunately, there are many that get to the point in this, in their lives as well. They just want to die. Saul just wanted to die. And there are many in our society today that get down to this point. Listen, that is a dangerous road. And why do people get to that point? Well, they're like Saul to an extent. They become depressed. They don't see any reason to live. They have things that they are ashamed of and all other reasons. However, I would like to say this. And if you don't hear me say anything else tonight, please hear me say this. If you are at that point right now, or if you have experienced it, or you're experiencing it, please find help. Find help. Don't stay in that position of wanting to die. I know this world is depressing, but there is joy in our salvation. I know this world is so discouraging. You read the news, you just don't want to watch it. I know. And I know there are a lot of people going through a lot of things. But I want you to understand that God loves you. And he wants to help you. And he wants to guide you and direct you. And so please come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Danny. Someone's watching via live stream. Please find someone that will help you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to say, "Hey, I have problems and I need to do something about it." Don't stay in that situation. God don't want you to. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to find joy. He wants you to find peace. And that is, as followers of Christ, if someone comes to us with that, Christians, we are to direct him straight back to the Word of God and show him the love of God. Show them the love of Christ. Show them that Christ loves them, desires to help them, and to give them joy and restore their joy of their salvation. So please, don't be like Saul and do the unthinkable. Because what does it say he does next? After he asks the armor bearer to kill him, he says, I'll just do it myself. In verse 4, he says, but his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell upon it. So after his armor bearer refused to kill him, Saul took the sword and killed himself. Simply put, he committed suicide. Listen, this was not what you would expect from a king. But he knew his time was at hand. The Philistines were going to rule over him and his throne was going to be overtaken. What an intriguing turn of events. The one that had chased his problem down was now going to be the king. God said, God gave Saul chance after chance to accept his will and to allow his will to be done. And he continued to go against it. Finally, God had enough and he allowed the Philistines to overtake Saul. And when that happened, Saul took his own life. Listen, there must come a point in all of our lives that we must accept the will of God. Yes, certainly at times we don't like his will for it, but it is always for our betterment and for his glory. And we must not allow ourselves to get wrapped up in what we desire, but rather say, not my will, but yours be done. See, Saul could not do this because of his selfishness, because of his pride. And his selfishness and his pride led him down a road of destruction that led to death. And so we see that in verse 4, the armor bearer said, no, I will not kill you. But we see in verse 4 that Saul committed suicide. But then look with me in verse 5. We see that the armor bearer commits suicide as well. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. See, the sad results of Saul's death was the death of his armor bearer. And I'm sure that he thought he needed to do exactly what his king told him to do. And he thought that he would be just like his king. And there was no other way, no greater thing to do than to take his own life. This was a direct correlation with the type of leadership Saul presented. You know, there are a lot of religions today that there will be people that will die because they think it is satisfying their king. There are many people that commit suicide because they think that is better for their God. And this armor bearer thought, hey, if my king died right here, I need to do the same. That's a terrible correlation of what took place here. But I want you to understand tonight, and I'm going to say something, and this may make some of you mad, but listen, I say it out of love. I don't care who's in Washington in leadership. If they do something or lead by a sinful way, we are not to respond in agreeing with what they do. There have been many that have accepted the words of a president because he's either Republican or Democrat. I don't care where he or she is. God is still the one that we are to follow. The Word of God is still the book that we are to follow. And may we never get like the armor bearer and put our faith in a man, but always put all of our faith, all of our hope, and all of our joy in the one true Almighty God who was and is to come. So we see that the armor bearer followed Saul's ways. But then we see in verse 6 that Saul's dynasty collapsed. It says, so Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. So Saul's dynasty that had been going so well for over 40 years now was down in shambles with just one battle. With just a blink of an eye, it was all gone. The reign of Saul was over. Listen, this is a wonderful picture of the truth that we need to remember. We may believe that we have all these things, but when we die, we will take nothing, nor what we have will not go with us. Listen, Saul faced Almighty God as Saul the person, not the king. And every one of us will face God the same. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter our stature. We will face Almighty God the same way. And Saul did, just like you and I will as well. And so Saul's dynasty represents the collapse, and it represents a picture that everything will be gone in a blink of an eye, but Almighty God is always and will always be. So the final thing that we see here tonight is Saul's death impacted the nation in verse 7. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So what takes place here? The remaining Israelites of the northern Israel, what did they do? They were so scared that they now didn't have a leader. What takes place? They abandoned their cities. They abandoned them. It says in verse 7, and when they abandoned them, guess what takes place? The Philistines occupied their cities. So the Philistines just vacated the area after the great victory and the demise of Saul's empire. What a turn of events, but that is exactly what will happen when anyone ever tries to do things their own way and forgets about God. May we always remember, as long as we go with God, we can't lose. But when we strive to do things on our own, we will always lose, just like Saul. And so we see here that Saul dies. Saul's great army is devastated. Saul's empire is gone. His sons are gone. And then we see in verses 8 through 10, and I'm just paraphrasing here, we see that the Philistines disrespected Saul's body. They cut his head off and placed it at the feet of their gods and all of that to show, hey, look what we've done for you. And then we see that the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that, and they so graciously went and paid their respects to King Saul and took his body away from the Philistines as a representation of the respect for their king. And so now the nation of Israel, the Israelites, are in shambles. They don't have a king. Their king is dead. And now what is going to happen next? Well, guess what? 2 Samuel will start next week. But I want to wrap this passage with what Preacher's Outline Sermon Bible states, giving basically a overview of this passage of Scripture. And I quote here in closing, "When God pronounces judgment, it will take place. The Lord warned Saul that if he continued to live a wicked and disobedient life, he would face the judgment of God. The hand of God's judgment would fall upon him. But Saul refused to heed the warning of the Lord. As is seen throughout his life, he refused to repent of his evil, self-centered ways. He refused to trust the Lord to help him govern the nation and lead the people in the path of righteousness and justice. Consequently, God had no choice but to pronounce judgment upon Saul. And once that judgment was pronounced, it was to take place. Judgment was certain. The surety of God's judgment is the lessons to learn from Saul's death. God forewarns us, if we continue in the way of wickedness and disobedience, we will face the judgment of God. His hand of condemnation will fall upon us. And this is exactly what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." So may we take God's word tonight and apply it to our lives, and may we live out his will in our lives until Christ comes. Finally, if you are sad tonight, and I want to reiterate this, please find some help tonight. The only help that you will truly ever have is at the feet of the cross. No doctor, medicine, or anything like that can take the place of the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Please, let us help you and love you is my prayer. So may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace.